Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again. It is time for another one of our, radio book reviews or radio book chats with one of our previous visitors to the Spectrum program. We'd like to welcome Henry Cheng. Thank you for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. Great to be here again.
We first met you a few years back when you had a new book out at that point, which was the one that I have right here in front of me called Death Money. Let's get to know you a little bit better in case we didn't do this in the last program. Tell me a little bit about your where you were born, your family, your early years, your upbringing.
Well, New York City, born and raised, as they say. Mm-hmm. And New York City's been my world. Chinatown has been my neighborhood for most of my life. My parents and my background were from south of China. We're Cantonese people. Mm-hmm. We're from Guangzhou. And my parents came here as immigrants, worked in the restaurant business and in the sweatshops. And of course, I grew up in Chinatown during some of the most violent times in Chinatown history. And that's basically how the stories are informed.
Yeah, there is something about that old school Chinatown that we see it occasionally in movies, some of the film noir movies where there's always something nefarious going on in Chinatown. And you have to go down and on some steps and knock on a door, and somebody with a long pigtail answers and something like that. Were you fascinated as a youngster by reading mystery type books, or did you have another type of literature that was your favorite genre?
Well, I started when I really got interested in reading. It was Asian American literature, books like No Boy, Eatable Tea, books that inspired me and told me that I could write and tell these stories. And I wanted to write and tell these stories that nobody else was writing about Chinatown. And that's where it all began.
Today, obviously, it's a whole different Chinatown. Is there anything about the old days that you miss? I know that it was violent in some areas. It was not such a great place to do legitimate business. But is there something about the charm of the old days that's not there anymore?
Well, I miss that sense of the old neighborhood. I remember when the neighborhood was only three or four blocks. And now it's river to river. It's from Battery Park up to Union Square. So the neighborhood has really expanded. And part of what is happening now is because of gentrification. A lot of the people being displaced, the neighborhood is changing its character, and not always to a good extent. So some of that cultural history I am missing because I see it disappearing.
Have you visited many of the other Chinatowns and other metropolitan areas around the U.S. outside New York, obviously?
Yes, that's one of the great things that I've gotten from being an author and going on book tours. I've since the books, I've gone to Los Angeles Chinatown, of course, San Francisco, Vancouver, Seattle. I've been to Houston's Chinatown, and of course, all the ones on the East Coast, New York, Philly, Boston, Washington, Chicago. And I've come to learn, wow, there are a lot of Chinatowns.
Mm-hmm. There really are.
And in New York, we've got three.
Yeah, and going on four, maybe five at some point, and then that's if right. You roll in Newark or across the river, and some of the suburban areas now are getting, if not Chinatowns, at least enclaves.
Yes,
where there are available things like markets and businesses
right.
that are kind of banding together. I was in Washington a while ago, and they have the largest arch gate, if you will, of any Chinatown in the United States. And something that I guess one day New York will have, hopefully. Let's talk about your books. The latest book, the one that just came out in March, is called Lucky. It's about a guy who, at first blush, wouldn't seem to be so lucky. You have your hero, which is Jack Yu, who's a detective. And one thing about the structure I want to ask, your website is called Chinatown Trilogy. Now, trilogy implies three. Did you set out to write three books and started with the word trilogy as a challenge to get three books out? But now you're into your fifth book, but it's still trilogy. So tell me how trilogy plays into the first, second, and third books, and then the fourth and the fifth.
Well, that's exactly right what you said. When I started out, I was lucky to get that first book published. I mean, it stayed in the closet for 12 to 15 years. Nobody liked it.
Wow, really? Okay.
And then suddenly in 2005, it was discovered. And that was my first book. And so I had to come up with a website. So I was hoping to get like, well, if I have a trilogy, a body of work, nobody else in Chinatown's ever done that. New York City Chinatown anyway. And I said, okay, let me go for that. And Soho Press gave me the second book. And try as we might to get a two-book deal, we never got a two-book deal. And then they gave me a third book. And I said, well, here I am, the trilogy. And then I wasn't done. So I wrote the fourth book, Death Money. But I didn't want to change the website because people will already be familiar with that. And I said, oh, I have to start that all over again. I said, no, I won't do it. And at that time, the joke was, Henry, you got four books in a trilogy. So the joke now is, Henry, you got five books in a trilogy. How does that work?
Yeah, well, you can have book three, part one, two, and three. You do it that way. Right. So you've got your detective, and he knows both sides of the street pretty well, the good side and the bad side. And this particular book called Lucky is about a gangster named Lucky who's, I guess, sort of like one of those Rip Van Winkles that falls asleep, goes into a coma, comes out at some point later on, and thinks it's the same world. Tell me how you developed this story and just a tease of what it may be about.
Well, Lucky was one of the dynamic characters in my first book, Chinatown Beat, and I always thought he deserved a book all his own. And he appeared in Year of the Dog, the second book, and didn't appear in the third and fourth. Well, you know, here he is. He's back. And I have him coming back to wreak havoc upon his Chinatown criminal rivals. And that's what this whole book is about. I kind of wrote this more in terms of like a thriller. Instead of following Detective Jack Yu on his usual cultural investigations, this one is written more like you want to know what is Lucky going to do next. And that was the approach I used.
Where had Lucky been for those years that those two books were being written and engaged? Was he in the back of your mind somewhere? But where was he in the storyline?
Well, Lucky had gotten shot in book two. And, of course, he had gone into the hospital, and I left that book ending like that. And I didn't think that I was going to, you know, further tell the Lucky story, but I wanted to leave that open, just as I have left some of the other characters open. And it gave me an opportunity later on to pick up the story, which is exactly what happened here.
You've got a little more of a an easier job than if that was a TV series and you'd have to wait to do a contract with the actor before you could write him into any future episodes. As an author, you can just make him come and go without having to deal with an actual person, which makes it pretty easy, I guess. Something that piqued my curiosity is that even though we've met you as an author with Death Money and then now with Lucky, but you're actually a lighting designer by trade. Tell me how that came about in your life.
Well, I was an industrial design major in high school. I went to Brooklyn Tech. I'm a New York City boy through and through. And then from there, I went to Pratt Institute for a year, and I was an industrial design major there. And finally, I left Pratt, and I went to CCNY. But along the way, I worked in some of the lighting stores on the Bowery.
Right.
It was a big lighting district at the time. And I learned stuff about lighting, how to assemble lamps and the different lighting technologies. And eventually, I got into the business myself. My brother was in the lighting business, and we started supplying Chinese contractors who maybe didn't know how to read a ceiling plan, didn't understand the technical or the English specifications. So that's basically, I knew that. So that's basically how I had a working relationship with that, and that's how I got into the lighting business. And my brother's still in that business today, and we talk about lumens and ambient lighting and decorative lighting, and I still have a fond spot for that in my heart, though I haven't been involved in the industry.
Were you writing at the same time you were lighting?
That's clever. No, that was a little before I started writing. But then later when I was writing, when I got back into the lighting industry, I had already finished my first book, so it's always there with me.
So you have, I understand, been engaged with the possibility of these books becoming TV shows, films. Where are you now with the future of your existing body of work, if not writing any new work?
Well, of course, we are still shopping the rights. There's 5 books worth of material. We've been talking about it as a possible TV series. And then, of course, some people like certain of the books for a movie, for a feature-length movie. Now, about 6 years ago, we had optioned the rights, and that person, that producer, held it for a number of years, and it got as far as HBO. And they had actually written a script. A big-name script writer wrote the script, and they were talking about casting. And then, of course, they ran into these creative differences.
Of course, as that's always the excuse for not doing something, creative differences.
Right. So, you know, there were arguments about that, and finally HBO put it into turnaround, which means they killed it. And so subsequent to that, we're still shopping it now, and it seems to be some interest.
Have you ever thought or ever tried doing any script writing? Rather than fiction or rather than novel, you know, where he says, she says, that kind of thing?
I really like the idea of script writing. I've written 2 scripts already, and neither one have gone anywhere. But I like the format. It's a different animal. I mean, you're writing for a different audience. Mm-hmm. And I really like that because 90 or 100 pages and I'm out. And, you know, or a TV episode, 44, 45 pages, I'm out.
Yeah, it takes you a couple of pages in a book to do what somebody can do on screen in 10 seconds.
That's right.
You know, walk across the room, open the window, blah, blah, blah. And so, well, listen, the book, the new one, is called Lucky. And if people want to go to ChinatownTrilogy.com, which is your website, and in that trilogy you'll see some excerpts of all 5 of the books, including the new one, some reviews and all of that. And I wish you safe travels, and thank you again for stopping by to visit Henry Chang. Look forward to seeing what the future will hold with Lucky and Jack and the rest of your team.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's great to be back, and thank you for all the good wishes.
My pleasure. Great. Thank you.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.